the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, here in the end of October. I love October. And I'm with Mott and Steve. Hi, guys.
And why do you love October?
I just love it because I just love cider and pumpkins.
Yeah. Mm, okay. Do you have them nightly?
I usually eat one pumpkin per night, and it just depends on whether or not I have cider with which to drink it.
Do you like carving the pumpkins and dealing with the innards? Because...
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know what I realized, though?
I love pumpkin innards.
I mean, just reach in there, and yeah, it tangles around your hand like something out of Lord of the Rings or something.
And then all those overambitious types who like roast pumpkin seeds.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
We've done that a couple of times.
Because you guys are overambitious.
Yeah, but you kind of choke on them sometimes.
That is awesome. You know what? I just discovered about 2 years ago that there are actual like pumpkin carving tools.
Oh, right.
Like, I always just took a big old chef's knife to it and wondered why mine were just so lame.
Right.
Like, I could just cut out the triangle eyes and they were still all jagged.
Yep.
And then there were actual, like,
it's like
fine
little
tools.
Jigsaw type things.
That is amazing. That's amazing. And it makes me want to carve
difference.
A pumpkin right now.
It does.
Okay. We'll do it.
I mean, it really takes those to go, like, the crazy stuff Martha Stewart does with a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do that with... Yeah.
Well, I don't even think she does have her stuff. She just has a staff.
Oh, that's right.
It. Yeah. And then, like, she has about 7 different estates from which to glean natural materials. I think I saw one of her specials, and she was like, "So I sent Pete down to the Easter field to collect pine cones for my garland." Yeah, whatever. I was living in an apartment at the time, and I didn't have any pine cones. Anyhow, okay, for today's show, we're going to be tackling the second half of our interview with Phil Vischer. And let me tell you, I've had people contact me and say that the first half was amazing. And it was, because he's amazing. And he just creates a lot of things. And, you know, it started with vegetables. And now he's on to new greener pastures. Ew, greener, like vegetables. Okay, so that will be coming up in our culture segment. And then for the inbox, we're going to talk to a girl about her boyfriend who does not want kids. And she does, I guess. So someone is going to get some words from us, I'm just saying. So you'll have to listen to find out what that's going to be. And Candace is going to be here to join me for that. So, but we want to start out by talking about my experience that I had last week shopping for my nephew's 10th birthday. I basically, you know, I know a few of the things that he's into. Like, he's really into money. Like, he collects money. He saves money. He spends money. He has all the quarters, you know, all the U.S. quarters and stuff like that. And then he's always trying to make money. So he created these business cards. He started an eyeglass washing business that, like, people who have glasses, he'll, like, just wash their glasses because he bought some of that cleaner. And so he was charging, you know, for that. And so that's awesome. And then he would try to sell random things. So he tried to sell me this, like, pencil for 25 cents. But I'm like, this pencil is used and I'm not paying 25 cents. I'll give you 15. So I had to bargain him down. But... anyway, so I went to go shop for him and was pretty much blazed away because half of the toys that are available for boys who are 10, I'm not even sure I understand what they are. I mean, literally, I felt like I needed an advanced engineering degree to even understand how these toys work and what's going on with them. So that was very intimidating. I don't know anything about video games, so I couldn't even wade into that realm. It was very scary, and everything was behind locked cases. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I do anything, I'm going to buy something, and it's going to be like NC-17 or whatever they're rated, and my sister's just going to, like, you know.
Or he's already got 3 of them.
Be furious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the totally sketch ones. So I did end up getting, like, these walkie-talkie. I basically did an Iron Man theme because he hasn't done anything with Iron Man. I don't even know if he can watch Iron Man. I was, like, trying to think back when I saw it.
I don't know about that.
No, I mean, because there's violence and the whole plucking the heart thing out, but I figured there's not, like, sexual situations.
Yes, there is.
What? I don't remember that.
Right at the beginning, he's crawling out of bed with a girl he doesn't know.
Whoa. Okay.
So the ClearPlay version of that, yeah, maybe.
I think we'll have to clean that up. So I basically put his dad in charge of censoring the movie if he's not allowed to see it. So, Lauren, Adam, please do not let Sam watch that movie. I'm so sorry I forgot about that scene at the front end. But then I got him these companion-like walkie-talkies of Iron Man, and so he and his friend are going to run out in the backyard.
See, now that's good.
Oof, it was a struggle.
They're actually Iron Man walkie-talkies,
yes,
though. See, that's the problem with the Owls, though, is that it's hard to find anything that's not a big product push. I mean, that you got
exactly
brand
into marketing.
Brands taking over whole shelves. And so, I mean, it's all pushing a price. It's hard
Transformers
to get something that's
is big
not
this year.
Character connected.
And I heard that movie was totally sketchy. Like, that's got some major sexual themes in it. How can you have sexual themes with, like, robots?
Because you can.
I don't understand.
And Hollywood
this.
Will do it.
Oh, my word.
But talk about you need an engineering degree to put those things, transform those things.
Yeah, that's what I don't even get. So, and then from his grandma, he got this like Lego thing that you build this spaceship or something. And it was so intricate. I just looked at it and that, I couldn't even, I was overwhelmed.
Those Legos blow me away now. I remember when I was a kid, I had Legos and I could build a really great wall. Mm-hmm. But that was about it.
Well, now Legos, you've got, you got a whole Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Bionicles, Power Miners. I mean, all these different categories they have. Plus, now you've got the whole, you can create your own. I mean, they got a whole area where you can get on Lego.com and design your own thing, and then they'll sell you the set to go create that in real life if you want.
Yeah.
But Legos are, I tell you, it's been hard for us for boys' birthdays or Christmas or anything to ever go wrong with Legos. Mm-hmm. And our kids, we've got three boys' birthdays of our boys in the next 6 weeks, plus Christmas on top of that. And so this is always an interesting time of year for us. Mm. But Legos get us a long way through it.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe you're going to have to say, you know what, for our birthdays, we're going to roast pumpkin seeds. And just see, just bring it down a notch.
Recalibrate expectations. Lisa, we're going to do that for Christmas, or roast chestnuts. I've already told my kids to lower your expectations this year.
Because
we have so many. Seriously, I told them yesterday, look, kids, Christmas isn't going to be the same. And you know what? Beth and I are actually excited about that, about doing something different this year on Christmas and instead of just doing the toy thing. So we have a good opportunity to reinvent Christmas for our kids.
Yeah, and Lisa, just thinking of the parents of the kids, anybody who's buying toys and has relationship with the parents, I mean, that's usually involved in any of our listeners who are buying toys for kids, is to think about, for one thing, we just read so much that says boys need something that's interactive. If you give them something that is too electronic, does too much, it robs them of imagination. And so the simpler toys are actually better a lot of times. I mean, the thing about Legos that's so good is the interactivity and the engineering and the hands-on and all that. But also, at the same time, you got to be careful about too many pieces. And I'm just amazed how many boxes seem to celebrate that it's 1,000 pieces of something. Because the reality is anything that's more than one piece is going to get inbred with all kinds of other toys. And so within a day of getting the gift, it's going to be incomplete because those pieces are going to be all mixed in all over the house.
Huh?
Have you not had that?
Talking about?
Do your kids not mix up Lincoln Logs with Legos, with magnets, with puzzle pieces, with... Mott's
no,
got good kids.
Mott's like the kind that only lets them take out one toy at a time.
That is right.
And they have to pack up the whole thing before they can take out something else.
Yeah, sure. Mott, you're a successful dad.
Yeah.
That is just props.
So what's wrong with that?
No, that's good. They can't work with the girls and the boys. They have to each other.
Right. See, our stuff ends up in every room of the house, whether we can help it or not. So we're always stepping on Legos or Lincoln Logs or something like that. And then whenever we have these pushes where we get all the pieces together again and we're so excited to get it sorted and back in Lincoln Logs with Lincoln Logs and all that, and it lasts 17 minutes, you know? So
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, there are some toys that have endured over time. And I think of the stuff, you know, I actually put a little shout out on Facebook this morning asking folks, what was your favorite childhood toy? Because I remember what I played with. And I remember now, I mean, there's a certain, you know, Mott talking about Christmas, you know, if it worked for the Ingalls, I think it should work for some other people, okay? Those kids got an orange, a penny, and a piece of Hornhound candy, folks, okay? And I'm just like, why can kids not just use their imagination and get into stuff? Now, I remember when I was little, my mom made me a doll with all these, like, outfits. And I think that was literally the last thing she ever sewed because I think it just did her in. But I remember playing with that like forever to be able to interchange the outfits and stuff. And I know Barbies were really big too for me because we would take like record jackets. Some of you listeners don't know what those are. But basically they were big vinyl records that were precursors to tapes. And we would take the jackets and make like rooms and build out like the whole living room with different rooms for our Barbies and stuff.
See, Lisa, that was cool. You and I are just alike because my favorite toy was a G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. And he would come with a lot of outfits. Uh-huh. So I would change his outfits, and I would make forts out of those record jackets.
See, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that neat?
The funny thing about it is, though, that it was a few years ago, I was watching my nieces, and they decided they wanted to play Barbies. And so they give me a Barbie, and I'm supposed to, quote, do something with this Barbie. And I'm like, how did I play with Barbies for like an entire weekend? And now I'm like, once I changed her outfit, I'm like, what do I do with this thing? You know, it's like I've just lost all imagination. It's so sad.
Well, what's fun too is like the Toy Story movie came back out, and so it brought all the Toy Story things like the Bucket of Soldiers and the Slinky Dog and all that's kind of back out there. But our kids get the most jazzed about like the Back to Basics catalog that's got all the retro toys. In fact, every entry has the year it was first introduced. And so you look and the thing they get excited about was something that came out in the 20s or something like that. And you realize anything that requires batteries is probably a better boon for the maker and seller of the toy than for the recipient because it is taking away their opportunity to be more interactive and have imagination, but it also is giving more headaches to the parents who are eventually going to have to replace those batteries.
Unless it's a battery-powered lightsaber.
Well, yeah.
Which
is still fun even
sound,
when the battery
lightsaber
dies.
Sound.
Yeah. Did you ever have or have someone in your neighborhood who had the green machine? Like either green machines
green
or big
machine.
Wheels.
Yeah,
like
the
those
green
were
machine,
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, the green machine, because you could pull the gear and turn.
Exactly.
I tried to buy one for my kids and couldn't find that model anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they
have
sad. Them. It's totally sad, but we used to take turns going down the cul-de-sac and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's all kinds of safety issues.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure it's full of lead, too, so you know you don't want your kids chewing on it, whatever.
Yeah, well, safety's, you know, much more important now than it was when we were kids.
I mean, they make kids wear seatbelts, don't they?
Seatbelts. I never wore a seatbelt.
Bike helmets? Did you have a bike helmet?
And I had a BB gun. No, I didn't have a bike helmet. I had a BB gun, and now they have Nerf guns.
Oh, that's and, you know, guns. That's the thing. If you want to get a gun for a boy, you almost have to pay to get into the back stock room of a non-chain store.
Where they're like shrink-wrapped?
Because
you mean a real gun?
You cannot buy... The only guns you can buy in a store anymore are Nerf guns.
Hmm.
I mean, that's as far as you can go almost.
Unless you go to the trading post out there at Garden of the Gods. Because they got all kind of cool guns over there.
Well,
and then get your coonskin cap
to
go
work
on.
Hard if you want to give a kid a gun.
Yeah.
But the thing is, kids will turn a G.I. Joe into a gun if they have to.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's how boys are wired.
Yeah,
That's right.
That's true. Did you guys ever use the sit and spin? I think that was another one that was awesome. I mean, how much does it honestly cost to create one of those? $1.50. I'm serious. And so many of us had them. And I'm just like, these kids are just like spinning around getting dizzy and parents have paid money for this. It's
yeah,
awesome.
I think the one I had, we ended up calling sit and puke or sit, spin and puke.
I had just recalling a few other things that people said on Facebook. One girl mentioned the slip and slide, which was awesome. If you could find a family that had a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they still make it. Just run the hose on it. Yeah, environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
And then one girl, a lot of like Polly Pockets, strawberry shortcake stuff. One girl was like, I pressed her stomach and a strawberry scent came out of her mouth. And I'm like, is that even good? That's kind of sketch. I don't know. But, and then some of the guys, of course, had Hot Wheels and having all those little Hot Wheel, you know, cases where you could put them all in and interchange them. So that's awesome. Okay. Well, I did look up, just as we kind of wrap up here our discussion, I did look up the top toys for boys and girls this Christmas. And I am pleased to say that many of these, I actually understand what they are, especially in the girls category. So that is exciting that even though there's all these fringe things that get into the anime and all that kind of stuff, that kids are actually still wanting some of the normal stuff. So, and games that seem to be pretty educational. So it looks like the top toys for boys include what's called the Mindflex game. This looks like some kind of weird science experiment. I don't know what that is. The iClops night vision camera. Hyper Dash, which totally looks low budget and just whatever. That's
oh,
a game.
Yeah, Hyper Dash.
Hyper Dash. Okay. Razer Pocket Rocket, which looks like something you ride on. Nintendo DSi, Lego Star Wars, Devastator, which is a Transformers character, and then a Transformers helmet. But they also go into a lot of educational toys and games as well. So that's those are some options. For the girls, we're looking at the Walk and Giggle doll. Whoa. Is that crossover? Maybe boys don't want that. Okay. Barbie townhouse. Shout out to the Barbie townhouse. I had that. My parents got it at a garage sale when I was younger, and I have one of those. The elevator did not work, so I had to work it manually. However, it was still fantastic. So glad to see that's up in the top. The Kid Tough camera. Holiday Barbie 2009. I am not going to endorse this because she looks skanky. Okay, I'm not going to give props to that. She has way too much eyeshadow on. Holiday Barbie, whatever, and her top is totally immodest. Dora Link, so Dora the Explorer, Barbie Jam and Jeep, and the Lego Pink Brick Box. Oh, and then the For Real Friends Lulu, which is a cat, which I also can't endorse because that's just scary. So there are a lot of options out there, folks. Write us, editor at boundless.org.
Hey, and don't forget Adventures in Odyssey, Radio Theater.
Focus word. Okay. I'm so glad you said that. Okay. Listen up, people. We need to talk about this for 30 seconds. Focus on the Family has stuff for kids, and you need to get it. Here we go. For kids who are 4 to 8, get a subscription to Clubhouse Junior Magazine. Magazine subscriptions are awesome. Mm-hmm. My mom was like getting my nephew Ranger Rick. I'm like, hello, I work at Focus. Please get Clubhouse Junior.
It's awesome.
So yeah, Clubhouse Junior. And then for 9 to 12-year-olds, get Clubhouse, the magazine. Also, Adventures in Odyssey, our audio drama for kids. Make sure that you get that. It's available CDs directly from focusonthefamily.com. Check it out. And then, of course, we just talked last week and this week about jellytelly.com, which you can get. It's a subscription-based kind of thing, a daily internet variety show for kids. It is hilarious. So check it out. We also have the live-action version of The Last Chance Detectives, which is our film. It has 3 different series to it. Again, focusonthefamily.com. Check those out, and those you don't have to worry about, scary Barbies and whatever anime people showing up. So that is it. Write to us at editor at boundless.org and let us know what your favorite childhood toys were or any toy challenges you've had this year or fears you have going into the holiday and Christmas season. Looking for gifts or even ideas, like Mott was saying, that you have for kind of making Christmas a little more sensible this year, because we're always looking for that, too. So because I have got a lot of family members, people, and I'm very nervous about this, even just putting in the time to do all the shopping. So write to us, and we'll be back and kind of let you know what we found out. Thanks.
You are the sunrise in the east. You are the ocean at our feet. You are the bright and shining star. You are the love that's in our hearts. And you are glory. Glory.
You talked about hiring big and you know, growing the company very largely and feeling kind of overwhelmed by that or whatever. But I remember years ago seeing my day job's in PR, and I was so encouraged to open up Time magazine one day and see a 2-page ad spread on VeggieTales. And it was the first time that I felt like, oh my word, like now I can go to my non-Christian friends and say, like, you don't know what VeggieTales is? Well, just look in Time. You know, I felt like you were willing to take a risk and do something big and put out the cash and put out the, expend the effort to do something that was, you know, very much a vault, you know, in that direction. Right. Whereas a lot of people at that time were just kind of slinking around, going, you know, back to the Baptist Bible bookstores and just handing it out to like 4 people or whatever. And you guys really took a risk in that. And so I thought that was cool, and that was encouraging, not only for me personally, but professionally. So,
yeah, if and that's not necessarily bad to throw things out big like that if God has asked you to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question is, because we grow up in a culture that worships at the altar of big,
mm-hmm.
Are we pursuing big because it's God's calling on our lives, or are we pursuing it just because we believe that gives us value?
Right.
You know,
right.
That I haven't made it until I've made it in New York or LA, or I'm in Time magazine or the cover of People, or
exactly,
you know, whatever. I mean, how are we measuring success? Because God ultimately doesn't call us to success. He calls us to obedience.
Right. And so in that sense, I think it's a difference between saying, you know, I'm going to do this so that I can be big and this company can be big, or I'm going to do this because this is an awesome product that is telling something that other entertainment products are not, you know, it's not teaching.
Right.
It's teaching something
There's a difference between following what God is doing with your work and trying to force an outcome
right.
from your work. If you settle on the outcome, say, this is going to be huge, mm-hmm. I think immediately you're off track mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you're not open to God saying, actually, it's going to be medium-sized.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You've sure. already made up your mind.
Well, along those same lines, we got listeners out there who do have these closet dreams, and it's been bugging them. Some of them have just kept it there for years, and they got their day job, and they keep fantasizing about yep. doing something. Yep. We got others who have taken steps, and maybe they've been quickly disappointed, or maybe it got quite a way down the road before they were disappointed. And for them, what's worth holding on to, and what are the right. cautions about what to be dragged by in your dreams?
There is one thing worth holding on to, and that's God, mm. period. Everything else is optional. You know, now God has work for us. He wants us to do good works, and he's planned them from the beginning. Mm. But the only way to find the work God has for you is by following God. It's not by pursuing the work. My first rule about dreams is not to use the word, mm. actually, because it's so loaded with emotional baggage from mm-hmm. our culture. You know, I mean, go back biblically, you know, a dream was direct divine revelation. It literally means that you had a vision. You fell asleep and God put a picture in your head and you came to and said, I've just had a vision and it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I hope God will help me figure it out. That's not what we mean when we say dream now. But there's another definition. There are four different meanings for the word dream. The one we're really talking about today is a deep longing. Okay, I have a deep longing to win a gold medal in figure skating. That is my dream. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. Certainly doesn't mean it's from God. Tanya Harding had a dream to win a gold medal in figure skating, and it led her to hiring a guy to whack Nancy Kerrigan in the knees with a wrench so she could do it. We do terrible things to each other in pursuit of our dreams. And for me, the first step, because I had someone write me, he heard me talk about this, about giving up my dreams, and he said, well, it sounds like you're sad. You know, don't be afraid to start dreaming again. And I wrote him back and said, I don't have a shortage of ideas. I've got a whole wall full of ideas, but the minute I pick one of them and start calling it my dream, I'm holding on to it too tightly. Hmm. You know, I always have to be open to God taking something out of my hand and putting something new in my hand. And we have this American, this notion that there's nothing more important than your dream because that's what gives you life. Like, no, God gives you life. I'm sorry. This mm-hmm. is very American, but it's not very biblical. Mm-hmm. So hold on tight to your dreams. No, hold on tight to your creator. You know, ideas come, mm-hmm. ideas go. Stress comes from holding on to an idea too tightly. Mm.
So what has that motivated you to do with Jellyfish, and how does that tie to the name Jellyfish
yeah,
Labs?
Yeah, my new company is called Jellyfish Labs. There are five of us there, not 210, much more manageable size. We use lots of freelancers and friends and partners from our big idea days. We hope we can actually do more with five than we did mm-hmm. with 210, and I think we might be able to. It's called Jellyfish Labs, though, because jellyfish can't locomote. They can't choose their own course. Where Big Idea kind of went off the rails is when I made my 20-year plan and said, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do for you in the next 20 years. I just need you to show up and bless it. And then stay out of my way because, you know, I'm mighty and powerful. and I realized that as a Christian, where I am in 20 years is none of my business. If I've given Christ lordship of my life, where I am in 5 years is none of my business. My business is what has God asked me to do today, and am I doing it? The thing about a jellyfish is it can't go anywhere by his own choice. He has to stay in the current and trust that the current will carry it where it needs to be. And as a Christian, that's me. I'm not the big studly barracuda. I'm a brainless, spineless bag of goo. And I just need to stay in the current of God's will and trust that his current will carry me where he wants me to be. So our one rule at Jellyfish is that we will do no long-range planning. We won't make 10-year plans. We won't make 5-year plans. We won't make 20-year plans. Now, if we're doing a project that we feel is, you know, is what God wants us to do, and that project requires a plan, we'll make a plan. Hmm. We'll make a plan for a project. We won't make a plan for the company.
So how's that working?
Great. I am so unstressed because, you know, as opposed to, gee, I wanted to have 400 employees by now. This isn't my plan. I wanted this project to go. No, don't focus on the outcome. Focus on the work.
Yeah.
You know, are we leading people towards God? Are we putting his truth into interesting stories for kids? Yes, we are. Then we're succeeding. Now, we still have to worry about budgets and schedules for individual projects. But if you hold those loosely, because you know God will take care of you either way. Mm. You can be in the center of God's will even if everything falls apart. You don't need a successful company to be in his will.
Yeah. So we need to jump in here and talk about what Jellyfish Labs is doing. And it's called Jellytelly.
Yes. Jellytelly.com.
Yes. Jellytelly.com.
It's our first project. And it's basically a kid's website that's attempting to recreate somewhere between a very tiny Nickelodeon and kind of the old Howdy Doody show online for Christian families. And the idea is that kids are interacting with media in different ways today than they were 20 years ago. You know, when we started with VeggieTales, the transformative technology sweeping American living rooms was the VHS deck. That was what made VeggieTales work. Well, kids aren't walking around with VHS tapes today. They're walking around with iPods and Xboxes, and they're doing digital downloads from iTunes. And Christians are losing it. We're actually producing less Christian kids' media today than we were 10 years ago because we're still trying to make VHS tapes and DVDs and sell them in Christian bookstores instead of figuring out how are kids consuming media today and how do we get it? How do we get our stories to them? So we're partnering with Focus on the Family to launch this website. Basically, kids can come every day to jellytelly.com and watch about a half an hour of little mini shows that teach them the books of the Bible, that we meet missionary kids from around the world. There's all sorts of little kind of Sesame Street-like stuff we can do. And we're also opening it up to other filmmakers to make stuff. You know, we've got, we've identified 15 Christian colleges with full-time film programs now. They'll graduate 200 to 300 Christian film students this year who collectively have nowhere to go and nothing to do. So they end up back at their home churches running the PowerPoint slides during the worship service. If you can tell a funny story in 30 seconds, we can air that. We can put it on Jellytelly. We can get it in front of kids, and then we'll come back and commission five more. You know, tell a story with popsicle sticks. If you can tell a story, you don't need a $20 million budget to make a feature film. You can tell a five-minute story, and you can change a kid's life.
Yeah, that's awesome. My my niece is actually a senior in high school and is making short films, and so I'm going to get the info and make sure I get it to her. So she's looking into colleges right now. But
awesome.
Okay, so we want to talk about some of these sketches really quickly, just to kind of give folks, I kind of describe it as a daily internet variety show. I mean, and then there's all there's obviously the games, and there's a lot of other stuff too, like ancillary stuff. But but really, there's kind of this opportunity for kids to sit down, and by kids, I mean anyone, to sit
because
down.
Because like VeggieTales, the parents dig it too, right?
Well, oh my goodness. Okay, I've seen some of these sketches, and they crack me up. They crack me up. And I'm
saying, love the Bentley brothers in our home, especially.
The Bentley brothers is hilarious. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that totally cracked me up. And then what's the one where you talk about you know everything from Jesus, or you know Jesus and Billy Graham?
That's a pirate's guide to church history.
Okay.
Because we figured who better to teach church history than a pirate?
Right. And then, I mean, but then you like land on something like the Nicene Creed. And
yes,
it's like,
we're walking our way through church history.
Yeah. So it's amazing.
With a pirate.
I mean, no one is opening up books to read about this stuff.
No.
So, you know, except for some of the reformers.
The funny thing is that as a church, we don't lack the information. You know, you walk into any church library, it's all there. It's not that we don't have the knowledge, it's that we haven't put it in a form where it reaches the masses.
Right.
You know, 90% of Christian books are read by like five guys, and they're all editors at publishing companies. You know, and that's and we keep writing more and more and more. So we know, this is what I love about Walt Disney. He did shows in the 50s on space travel, where he had, you know, literally brought in the leading rocket scientist in the world, Wernher von Braun, this German rocket scientist, and said, okay, we want to get what you're thinking about to American living rooms. And so they did it with Donald Duck, and they did it with animation, and they did it with, actually, they put the German rocket scientist there with a rocket in his hand. He says, this is how man might reach the moon someday. You know, and that stereotype of the German rocket scientist came from Disney's show in the 1950s with a real one.
Wow.
And when we actually reached the moon and they talked to Congress, to NASA about it, that was one of the things they pointed to. They said, if Walt Disney hadn't done those shows that got America so excited about reaching the moon, we don't think we would have gotten the funding through Congress.
Wow.
So the knowledge was already there. Walt Disney didn't make it up.
That's missing.
It's the imagination to connect the knowledge to the masses. And that's what we're trying to do.
Huh, that's awesome. Okay, well, we've been talking with Phil Vischer, creator of VeggieTales and now JellyTelly.com. He is teaming with Focus to produce this, so we are very privileged to be a part of this venture faux show. So just an exhortation for you. I need you to start creating some sketches for single people and incorporating them into JellyTelly.
Single people?
Single, young
adults.
Are
all our sketches for married people?
No, I mean, like, not just for kids.
The Bentley brothers aren't married.
No, but
they're just
friends. They need to get married. They need to, yeah. I know, but that is an unhealthy relationship that I'm sensing they have, and we need to get them into biblical relationships.
Yes.
So that is concerning. But I'm going to tell everyone who is a listener of ours to go to JellyTelly.com. This is going to be a subscription-based whatever. I don't even know what we call it.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out.
Just go there and figure out what
it is. There will be areas that are open for free and areas where, you know, a little monthly fee unlocks a bunch more stuff. And we haven't quite worked all that out yet.
Okay, well, that is fine because most of the people that listen to us have jobs, we're assuming. So you need to stop spending your money on stupid things and subscribe to Jelly Telly. Let's not get into the personal issues of Starbucks.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, maybe give up something else in your life or whatever you need to do. But go check out JellyTelly.com and make sure that you tell other people that you know too, especially your married friends who have kids, people, because that is the target demographic, even though I think everyone needs to be watching it. So, Phil, it has been an awesome privilege. I just want to ask you a few rapid questions before we leave here. And the first one is
chocolate.
Need your favorite VeggieTales sketch ever, and then your favorite Jelly Telly one currently.
Of
what you have.
I really like the Christmas silly song that Mike wrote. Oh, Santa is one of my favorites. So I'll pick that for VeggieTales. For Jelly Telly, the Bentley brothers are very silly. Also like A Pirate's Guide to Church History, just because, you know, I like trying. In VeggieTales, we taught the story of David and Bathsheba. You're not supposed to be able to teach that story to kids.
Right.
But we told it as a bath ducky.
Yeah.
Okay, and the same thing with church history. That's not a topic that's kid appropriate.
Right.
But I'm teaching the Nicene Creed and where it came from with a pirate. You know, so I think it's fun to teach things that people say you can't teach that to kids and pull it off by being a little mentally deranged.
Well, and acknowledge what kids are into. Like my nephews, when my mom was out there visiting, she started reading a Bible story to him, and my nephew Chase is like, "No, Nana, read a killing one. And he just wanted, there wasn't enough violence in the one that she was reading, and so he wanted a little more violence. So, you know, we could ramp that up.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Maybe that's not healthy. I don't know.
Is he playing Halo yet?
Yeah. And then I just want to hear from you. What do you think, what are just a couple things that are happening in arts and entertainment today that you think is kind of cutting edge? What do you like as far as what you're seeing out there? Please, nothing that is rated R or NC-17.
Yeah. I like what some Christians are doing in the arts, and a couple of things in the music scene, like Paste Magazine, where you've got, you know, really good writing and really good music being pursued, not, you know, with the strict rules of, you know, did they say Jesus seven times on this album so we can put it in our bookstore, but this is the work of artists who are Christian, following people who are Christians to see how their worldview is reflected in their work, as opposed to people who put stickers on them that say, "I'm a Christian artist." You know, I think is very interesting. Filmmaking, I'm awfully intrigued with the Fireproof guys, the Kendrick brothers.
And they were making movies as kids the same time as you were making movies as
kids. And what intrigues me, you know, whether or not you like the movies they're making, you know, in terms of craft, the model they've come up with is very intriguing. You know, volunteer cast, volunteer staff, volunteer crew, volunteer catering, volunteer babysitting, rent a camera, and see if you can make a movie with your church.
And by a camera, meaning one camera that they shoot the entire film.
Well, and I mean, actors from the pews.
From the pews, you know, and then maybe one real actor.
Yeah.
I really like what Tyler Perry is doing down in Atlanta, where it's someone who has a faith background, never pursued the Christian market per se, because I don't know that he knew it existed, you know, really. But he's in a position now where, you know, TBS wrote him a check for $200 million to produce, you know, 100 episodes of House of Pain. You know, and so he's built his own studio. He's got his own crews. People that I really like, people that work outside the system and make their own rules. I've always thought that's fun.
Totally. I like me some Madea, okay? Tyler Perry is, I really like
him.
Yeah,
he's a very interesting guy.
Okay, it's Phil Vischer, folks. Phil Vischer, check him out, JellyTelly.com. Like I said, make sure you get the show, make sure you're on there. And then Phil Vischer, and that's VISCHER.com, where you can just find out about him. other stuff surrounding him. So thanks so much, Phil, for joining us today.
This was
a lot of fun.
Woo. Thank you, guys.
Just like the ocean waves, you crash on me. Just like a tidal wave, you ruin me. Just like a hurricane, you devastate everything that needs to change. And you are
okay, well, opening up this week's inbox, I'm here with Candace. She's here by phone. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, we have to help another girl out here with a boyfriend question. And this
really?
Comes...
A boyfriend question?
Yes. Yeah. actually, it's a snafu. So she's dating a guy and has come to a little impasse on something. So we need to help her out.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, she says, my boyfriend's an amazing man, and we have a really great and solid relationship. We've talked about so many things, and although we are not engaged yet, we're heading toward marriage. There's only one issue that I'm really struggling with, and that is the topic of children. From as early as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a wife and mother more than anything else. I love kids and have always wanted a big family. However, my boyfriend is opposed to having children. From the occasions we've been around kids together, I think he's really a natural with kids and would make a great father, and that if he was around kids more, he would get over his, quote, dislike of them. I'm really struggling with the possibility of giving up a huge dream of mine versus maybe giving up another dream, a man who seems perfect for me in every other way. Giving up either option here seems to be an almost unbearable loss. Candace, what can we say to her?
Well, the purpose of marriage, one of the main purposes, is children. And so I'm glad that she wrote, because I think this is a huge issue. It's much more common today, since we now have chemical ways of saying no to children and basically shutting parts of our bodies down for the purpose of avoiding children. And I think, tragically, we have, even as a body of believers, often seen children as a consequence to be avoided rather than a gift and a natural result of the sexual union of marriage. And so just to start out by saying, what a grief that a woman who is wired to have children and who longs to have children is dating a guy who, in her words, is perfect in every other way, and I'm assuming he's a believer. To me, it's just it's tragic that a man who is a follower of Christ doesn't know that children is one of the main reasons God made us man and woman.
Yeah. Well, and what would you say to her, though? I mean, I'm a little concerned because, you know, having been in relationships before, you know, there you build that attachment and it's kind of like, whoa, now she is kind of at an impasse here and having to make a decision that is going to be very difficult. I mean, I think we've talked in the past about, you know, the decision on kids being something that really you need to address up front, because it's not often, I mean, aside from a, you know, massive conviction of the Holy Spirit, that people will naturally change their opinion on that. And it's unfortunate.
Well, I think the fact that her boyfriend, she thinks maybe it's just that he's uncomfortable around kids, I would encourage her that that's fairly normal among 20, 30-something men, because so many of them didn't grow up with baby siblings that were, you know, born when they were old enough to remember.
Sure.
And this is becoming more and more common as people have fewer kids. You have the situation where you grew up never having changed a diaper, never having held an infant. And so there's sort of that natural discomfort with babies. That's one thing, and I Steve even had some of that, and he thought, you know, I'm not sure I'll like kids because they don't seem to like me very much. And he turned out to be a really great dad, and so it's always different when they're your own. But if he were just saying, boy, I'm uncomfortable with kids, or, you know, I'm not sure I want as many kids as you do, you'd have some things to build on. It's a concern when couples wait until they're almost to engagement to have this discussion. This is something you should talk about far before. You really can't even know if he is a guy you want to marry until you know if he wants children.
Yeah.
And so my advice would be, have this conversation now. Don't wait any longer, and preferably have it with a mentor couple, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Someone who has had kids and who can answer those anxieties and fears and maybe help you see where your thinking is based on fact, but other areas where it might just be misconceptions.
Right. And it is very possible. I mean, we don't know about him particularly. It is possible that he just doesn't understand, you know, the biblical mandates surrounding marriage and children and stuff. And maybe he is just going off of a cultural perception of, you know, I can maybe serve more if we don't have kids, or
right.
I can do X, Y, Z. And so it's not a, you know, it's more of an understanding issue. But, you know, I would say that if it's very much a heart issue and it's just a, you know, he's unwilling to budge there, that's a concern. And
well, it is. And I think the biggest issue here is that our writer says he's a perfect guy in every other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's probably in her mind livable that he's not perfect in this way. And of course, we know he's not perfect because none of us are. But after the wedding, and after all the giddiness and hijinks of the new romance starts to sort of calm down into the more day-to-day, relaxed and casual and comfortable love that C.S. Lewis talks about in The Four Loves. After that, if he's still saying, I don't want children with you, he is saying no, not only to something God requires, really, of married couples when they're physically able to bear children, but also that God gives them as a blessing. And so he's saying no to blessings. He's willingly taking on something that in the Bible is always seen as a curse,
right,
which is barrenness. And he is asking her to disobey God. And I just think what seems like maybe a concern right now that she would be willing to go along with even in spite of it just because she wants to get married,
mm-hmm.
could become so huge that it could end up ruining the marriage.
Right. And, I mean, so it's basically we're saying she may have to do the hard work now of ending that based on that. And it may be difficult and it may be very painful. But I think just from a practical perspective, I can think right now of three couples off the top of my head who have been in this boat and they're married. And in one case, she basically disclosed after they got married that, I don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the other two are similar situations.
Yeah.
But one of those couples is now moving towards divorce over
yeah.
this issue. And the others, there's just a lot of grief there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, they just have not been able to get past that. And so I think it does, as you said, have serious ramifications.
Yeah, this is just one of those issues that, in my mind, it really is a deal breaker. That
mm-hmm.
if everything else seems to line up, but this one doesn't, this one is so central to how God wired us
yeah.
that next to saying don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever,
mm-hmm.
I think this is really almost the next big thing that you've got to be of like mind on, or it will be a constant source of friction for your whole marriage.
Yeah, true enough. So, well, hopefully this listener will take this to heart and will prayerfully consider it. And as Candace said, get a mentor couple, get them to weigh in, not only with you personally, but with your boyfriend as well. And just talk this through. And I think we are saying that if push comes to shove, this is going to be a deal breaker for you. And so we will pray for you to that end, that you'll make the right decision and one that will ultimately glorify the Lord in all that you do.
Yeah, and one other shameless plug, Steve and I happen to have a little book called Start Your Family, Inspiration for Having Babies. And Steve shares a lot of the anxiety that he faced and felt before we decided to have kids. And so that, especially if you can't find a mentor couple, that book could be your mentor of sorts, because
mm-hmm.
we really do raise all those anxieties and hurdles that couples are facing and work through them.
Yeah, that's true. She can just get a copy of the book and like put it in her boyfriend's car and be like, where'd this book come from? Oh my goodness.
I think it'd probably be better to say, hey honey, would you be willing to read this with me?
Oh, okay. Or that too. They could do that too.
Let's avoid the trickery, Lisa.
Wow. I need to get a mentor couple. Ah. Oh, that's funny. Well, thanks so much, Candace, for helping this listener out. I think that will be helpful. And I think a lot of times, you know, we hear from folks that literally do just want to be told some stuff straight up. And
mm-hmm.
I know we try to balance what we say with grace, but really we want to be as open and honest as we can. And I think you've done that. And so I think this is going to be helpful for her.
Oh, good. Well, I pray it will be.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for the inbox and for this week's show. As always, we want to hear from you. Write to us, editor@bellness.org, with your own relationship issues or other issues that you're struggling with. Remember, in addition to relationships, we deal with everything from career to faith to workplace to church involvement and worldview stuff. So we want to hear from you. We want to be able to start and continue a dialogue with you on all things. And we want to hear your feedback as well. So make sure you're passing the show along to your friends. Make sure that you're coming out to visit us. I always give that plug. Especially now in the winter, because, you know, it's not tourist season here, so we need more people. We need to see people. We get sad if we don't. So thanks, everyone, for being part of our family here at The Boundless Show. Until next week, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.